SMS Karima on 31702.
Now, the Special Investigating Unit says that it has noted testimonies at the Zondo Commission of Inquiry into State Capture, particularly the ones relating to the report into the Department of Correctional Services investigating or involving Bosasa. The report found that an improper relationship between Bosasa and the Correctional Services officials, Lyndon T. and Patrick Gillingham, had resulted in the company being awarded four tenders worth at least 2 billion rand. Former Bosasa COO Angelo Agrizi last week revealed that the company deleted 40,000 documents implicating executives in corruption from its servers days before the SIU could access them. Well, joining us now for more on their investigation is Advocate Mahlodi Moofe. He is the Chief Governance Officer at the SIU, as well as the head on the committee that's been established to look into this investigation. Advocate, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karim, and good evening to your listeners.
Now, of course, the country's attention has been on the explosive testimony of Mr. Agrizi in front of the Zondo Commission of Inquiry. For 7 days, people were literally glued to this. But one of the things that, of course, came out was that there was an SIU investigation, but a lot of effort went into squashing that investigation. And as you heard in my introduction, 40,000 documents implicating executives in corruption from its servers days before the SIU could access them was erased from Bosasa. Can you give us an update on where you are with this case? For example, are you ready to take this to the NPA for them to issue a docket? Lots of people want to know, why hasn't the house of Gavin Watson been raided? Why has the offices of Bosasa, for example, not been raided? Where is this investigation at?
Well, you will recall that last year we released a statement to the effect that there were a number of cases that worked on and referred to the National Prosecuting Authority.
Right.
Bosasa case was one of them. Of course, since then, we have established a working relationship between us and the other criminal justice entities, NPA and the Hawks. So the working relationship is okay now. Of course, if it's a question of wanting to know how far and where are prosecutions carrying the NPA will be best placed to answer those questions. You're correct in saying that our investigation at Bosasa DCS dates back to almost a decade ago. And in all fairness, the person who came up with a number of mass censuses which were taking place even then was Judge Jali.
You
recall the Jali Commission.
Yes.
Which uncovered so many wrong things were happening at the DCS. So things have been going wrong for a very long time then. And we investigated, even then completed the investigation, submitted our report to the DCS for actioning. Needless to know to say that everybody knows that nothing was done to implement the recommendations and remedial actions of our report. Then there is this issue of destroyed files. I was not at the SIU that time, but I was informed reliably by the forensic lawyers who worked on the file that time that even though Busasa deleted the file, then IT personnel at SIU were able to retrieve just about everything.
So you've actually got all the information, Advocate. What I want to get clarity on is that the Jali Commission sat, people were fingered, and yet Lyndon T has never faced arrest. The Watson brothers have never been called to court. They have never been charged. How is this possible?
Yeah, from our side, we are on record as having referred all those matters for criminal prosecution. The institution tasked with prosecuting those who are supposed to be prosecuted, as you know, is the NPA. I think they are best placed to respond to that.
But Advocate Moofi, you know, of course, that the NPA is severely compromised, as were other sections of the criminal justice system. I mean, we have the Mokgoro Commission that is looking into the fitness of Ms. Jiba and Mr. Mruebe. We know that people were paid off. People are effectively compromised. The very people that had to actually make sure that justice was served were bought over, were compromised. What are you doing now, particularly now that you've established the special committee, to work around those institutional difficulties? Is this all going to land on Shamila Batoy's desk the first day she walks into office in February?
Yes, the head of our institution, Advocate Andy Mutibe, has already pronounced that as soon as Advocate Shamila Batoy takes office, correctly so, even if there were no cases, it's only collegial that he meets with her because we're working together. But top on his things to do, Advocate Mutibi, is to have an urgent meeting with Advocate Shamila so soon as she starts. On Friday, when she starts, I'm sure she'll find a request from our head of the unit.
Yes.
Because these matters are urgent. Urgent in the sense that we have referred these matters then, when they happen. Nothing occurred, as you know. You know, but our meeting with the NPA last year yielded some positive results in the sense that our investigating team, together with officials from the NPA, have been working together.
Yes.
You know, we'll appreciate the fact.
I'm sure you only started working together after Cyril Ramaphosa became the president of the ANC in December.
Well, I only joined the SIU last year in August, so I'm not too sure whether that's the case. But in reality, is that I think the leadership of Advocate Mutibi has got to be generally applauded. He honestly wants to do good. He honestly wants to see SIU delivering, and he honestly wants to see all investigations investigated properly.
Absolutely.
And our investigators too, they mean good in their job.
Now, we know that the SIU is doing their job, for example, in terms of the SABC as well. The people that actually need to answer is, of course, the NPA. And we know the reason why they can't answer. They were, in fact, in the pockets of President Jacob Zuma. They're involved in selective prosecutions. They arrested Pravin Gordhan last year on trumped up charges. They had to drop it. We see what Advocate Noko is doing in KwaZulu-Natal. And, of course, we've got the two deputies fighting for their positions because they are being regarded or at least investigated for their fitness to hold office. Advocate Mahlodi Moofo, thank you so very much for coming to us on this program and updating us on this case. And the fact that you have informed us that even though the Watsons tried to destroy 40,000 documents implicating executives, motives in corruption that your IT people have been able to recover that information. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the efforts by those involved in state capture to try and ensnare members of the media, smear their names, pay them off, and of course also just the general reaction to that and the implications that has for building a democratic and a transparent South Africa.